Welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast, focused on providing valuable information for anyone looking to undertake a new build or extension project. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories from a building designer's perspective.
And welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast. I'm your host, Amelia, and once again, we're joined by Frank Geskis.
Hey, Amelia.
Hello, how's it going?
Happy Monday.
It is Monday.
We're doing
today.
Different. We're doing it on a Monday instead of a Friday.
We are. We're doing a little bit different today. And what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about, do you renovate, extend, modify, or do you flatten the thing and start again?
Yeah, it's a good question because where do you get that tipping point? Where does it become that point where, you know, you just flatten the whole thing?
Oh, I believe there's a number of different decisions that make that. Obviously, the big one is budget. And the one that controls it, though, a lot of it is emotion.
Oh, 100%. Because you get attached.
Well, that's why you should buy something, flatten it if you're going to do it, you know,
rather than family moving. Home.
Had one years ago. They lived in the house for years. And it slowly deteriorated and they made the decision, nah, flatten it. Love the location. Flatten the whole thing. Start again. And that's fair enough too. And it was a beautiful, warm, modern house. The original house was a weatherboard, probably about 1910, circa 1910, but the floor failed in it. And it was going to be a bit ugly to fix it. And they thought, well, why are we doing this? Why wouldn't we just start again? It's fair enough.
It obviously wasn't heritage listed, that one.
Oh, no, it was nothing even remotely close. But for them, it was the perfect decision. I remember seeing them years later and they reckon it was the best decision they ever made because they've got this perfect location, modern home, just toasty warm, but they had everything in the right location this time. It wasn't compromised. They actually had a garage this time.
Yeah, okay. So it's more functional for them in the long run by the sound of it.
It was. So you had the additional cost. So when you're thinking about this, your demo, flattening the house, I think at the time, now you're looking at probably about $40,000 to flatten a basic home, subject to a lot of things. So you need to look at what is the motivation behind some of this. If there's emotional attachment, sometimes people don't want to do that. And I've had that a number of times where we're doing some really big renos, alterations, and I said, are you sure you want to do this? And all the repairs that we have to the existing house? I says, no, we have an attachment to it. Everyone has their own reasons. But I've had other ones that have just gone, no, drive the excavator through it and start again.
Wow. It feels like such a big thing to say that, you know, to have a house and to just bowl it all over and start again.
It is rather, but then comes down to a number of things you've got to consider. So there's some beautiful old homes. You know, we're in Launceston, the oldest city in the country, and we've got some beautiful old homes here. And sometimes it just comes down to aesthetics. We've done plenty where you've got the beautiful facade and the look of the house, and we've done, in some cases, modern extensions, sometimes not quite match, but, you know, ties in quite nicely, depending on what the client wants. And we work through that, and we've done that heaps of times. And we've had the other side where the budget hasn't quite... Well, it was a 50-50. I remember one with friends of mine and all we had left was the floor. It was a timber floor and we built a new two-story house. And the floor was usable, the rest wasn't.
Oh, so you can keep the floor?
Yeah, we worked out we could. That's and the footings cool. were fine. Mm-hmm. So we had that assessed and the builder said, look, for X amount of dollars more, we can get you a brand new house from the top up, from the floor up.
That's pretty cool.
It was cool. They needed to. They had a small house. They needed much more space. And it worked for them, it worked. But the builder was very proactive in trying to work out budgets. And this is where it comes down to. Where does the dollars sit in? You have an existing house. You want to make it to meet all your requirements, wherever that may be. That's your choice. Then by the time you modify, rip out walls, hold up the roof, you want to make it more efficient, you put more insulation in, you meet it to comply, oh, the windows aren't much good, so put new windows in it and it keeps going on and on and on. And when you're renovating or extending or even just modifying, it is so much double handling involved. And also, when it gets really ugly is when you do an extension and the family still, or couple or single person, whatever, living in the front of the house, and they're living in the build. So then we try and design the build so they don't break through to the house. They do the extension. The last thing they do is break into the house in to join it all together.
So they don't have to move out.
Yeah, because then you don't have the rental costs. So there's ways of doing that, subject to what the client wants at the end of the day. So in some cases we've done designs for an extension, alteration, modification, like, and we're talking extensive here. Yeah, you could be doubling or tripling the size of the house.
Oh, yeah, we're not talking about just a bathroom.
No, definitely not a bathroom. It's like two bedrooms, a master bedroom, ensuite, extra living area, deck, alfresco and a rumpus room and a garage. You know, you're over 50%. Now, interesting thing I've got to point out here, in Tasmania, if you go over 50% of your extension and alterations, you have to upgrade the whole house.
In terms of what?
Thermal.
Performance.
Thermal performance and insulation, you know, and your windows, that affects, but also your bushfire.
Oh, your bushfire as well.
Yep, and that can be a bit horrible out in, when you're out in the sticks a bit. It can be real challenging. So I've had to work with a few people there on that. So you need to be aware that this, you might be thinking, oh, I'm just doing this portion, but you've actually got to upgrade the whole house. So it gets a little bit challenging. So that your designer and architect should be able to point that out. Now, be aware, that is Tasmanian legislation. I don't know what it's like in the rest of the country. So you need to talk to your own designers and architects in the other states. The other thing you've got to be aware of is your budget, obviously. Budget drives everything.
You can do a lot with money, can't you?
Well, not if you haven't got a lot of it or if it doesn't match your aspirations.
That's very true. You don't get very far at all.
As we use the term, champagne ideas on a beer budget.
Yes.
And that's fair enough. People don't know what they don't know. So they have to go through a process. So one of the things we like to do when it's unsure, we do designs for both. Do a design for an extension and doing a design if you had just a vacant lot there, what would you do? And you do that in a basic form, you get the engineer involved, you're spending a fair bit more money than doing one, but at least it gives you a good unemotional decision based on dollars.
And hopefully no regrets at the end of it either, because you get to weigh up both options.
True, but one thing I will say is that when you do a modern house, if you're looking at comfort, space, functionality, great. If you like that old world charm of the particular house, of all the different beautiful styles that we have, yes, you're going to lose that. There's no doubt about it. So sometimes it's a fine line between them. Also sometimes just keeping the facade of the house to keep that street appeal of the house.
So,
yeah. Yeah, and you modify everything from behind, so it's all very, very modern. So that's the other thing I want to talk about is, like, is it an aesthetic thing if you don't care? I.e. the house is butt ugly already, you know, could be a, and shouldn't say, use examples, but 60s red brick and with white painted timber framed windows, and apologise, some of those do look really cool, depending how they've been designed. You might, no, don't care, flatten the lot. So you don't have that emotional attachment from the aesthetics point of view. On the flip side, you might have something that's quite ornate and so, no, I want to keep that. I want it to look like that. And we had one of those recently. We built this huge extension at the back of the house that will meet all their needs, modern, and we weren't trying to tie it in. But from the street, you could just see the top of it because of the topography of the site. It was a reasonably steep site. You could see the top of the new extension, but the front of the house still looked really cool.
Yeah, right.
Until they wanted us to put a carport in front of it.
Oh.
Yeah, that
you
was...
You can't tie that in.
No. That was like... No, I wasn't a happy camper on that one. Anyway, that's where we work through with the client on that. Then you've got to figure out what's important to you, because you could have, when I'm talking aesthetics, this is the streetscape. You could have the best house in the worst street.
Yes.
You know, you could have like something from the 50s post-war and something very plain, and you could have this this beautiful modern behemoth that happened to my parents, next door to my parents' house, and the architect did a job there. I didn't 100% agree with it. It stood like a sore thumb when you look at all this stuff that was built around the 50s and 60s in the area. You know, each their own. That's what the client wanted, and good on them. They did flatten the house and then built this whole, I suppose, more of a lifestyle home because yeah, how they okay. did the gardens and veggie patches, and it was that was done very well. Do you want to put a modern thorn in a traditional street?
Yeah, you're talking about the streetscape and the way that it looks and ties in.
And that's what happened next to my parents' house, you know, and that's what the client wanted, and that's fine. Yeah, and that was in a very traditional street, and there's not a lot of modern houses in there by any means. Even though it's a very popular area to go by, because it's very close to certain schools that people want to be near. So then you've also got to figure out, do you want to stand out like the proverbials? You know, do you like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Some people don't. People like to do traditional, keep the look, but maybe modify it so it can get the car parking to work a bit better.
The other thing you have to consider too, and I don't want to go too much off topic here, but it also pays to check your covenants as well, because there might also be restrictions on what you can can't change in terms of the aesthetics of the house.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's true. Those particular lots dated back to the 50s and 40s, so they didn't have a lot of weird-ass covenants on them. Like, you've got some new ones now which are a bit ordinary.
Bit odd.
And some of them, I don't blame them, but That's a whole other topic, talking about covenants.
Yes.
But the other thing, you might find the land absolutely perfect. It's flat, you know. You might be someone that, hey, I need a flat site, you know, might be in a wheelchair, might be in a walking frame, could be whatever, and I need a flat site. But the house won't work because it's a timber floor sitting up out of the ground, but the location's perfect, near my family, near schools, near shops, whatever it may be. So then you flatten the thing to suit your needs so it gets it down on the right level for you. That I totally get as well. So lots of things to be considered with these. It still comes down to, does everything stack up dollar-wise? Where is the line in the sand?
That's the million-dollar question though, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Where does it, for you as an individual, when you're looking at these, where is that line? And it's such an emotional decision. And we can't always help people with that emotional decision. We just present the facts, just the facts, you know. Now, one thing we don't take into account, will your neighbours hate it?
Yeah, that's a possibility, isn't it?
It could be an extension, could be modification, upgrading, could be flatten the whole thing. Will your neighbours hate it? Do you care? Do you want to get on with your neighbours, even though they may not be your neighbours yet? You know, you could be living in the house, you could be buying the house. So that's always a possibility. Some people just don't want change either, and that's just the way it is. They don't want to see change, and they don't want to understand. And so you just go ahead and do it anyway. I've seen plenty of that as well. It's also getting the right mindset. Like, we spoke about the emotion, but the mindset of what you're trying to achieve, you know, being clear on that from when you start to when you start building to the end of your building, keeping on that mindset. Don't let anyone else influence you on what you're trying to achieve. Designers and architects can help you through this process, but as long as you stick to what your goals are, you know, in your mindset, yep, I need this, stick to it. Don't let anyone talk you out of some of this stuff.
No, that's when there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
We spoke about that previously, you've got a goal. Be confident in what you want to achieve. Obviously, be smart, budget-wise, timing-wise, because timing's everything too. Be aware renovations, extensions can take longer, potentially, than a new build, depending on the complexity. That's a factor as well.
And, I mean, I think there's more chance of unexpected things too.
Yeah, well, we spoke before. Extension. Yeah, extension, renos, the double handling, you're paying for something to be done 2 to 3 times, moved around, shuffled around and all that. And the block is a good example, and I hate using that, but it is actually a good example where they're trying to move stuff. Look at Landscaping Week and all this type of stuff. They've got stuff everywhere and people going berserk trying to move, plan to have pallets or of product equipment, and we're all tripping over each other. And renovations are just like that. You
100%.
Know? You know? Or it's even worse when you're living in the mess. Been there, done that, won't do it again.
Yeah, I know how that feels too.
Exactly. So also got to consider the value to the land. The extension could be just perfect what you need and the facade fits beautifully, as long as it functions well. But there's also limitations because the functionality of an older building connecting a new building may not function as well as you think it would. Sometimes it can work really well. I personally, I love designing extensions and alterations. I just love it because I love the boundaries that it involves, and you're trying to come up with these solutions, getting it to flow properly, get the sun in there, making it a great place to live and meet all the requirements of the client. They're the best fun, I find.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So where does that leave us with that tipping point? That comes down to the individual.
So there is no real dollar figure. You just sort of have to figure out yourself what you're willing to do.
Exactly. A dollar figure might be part of that. It could be your mindset, what you're trying to achieve. The main thing is being very clear what you want, you know, and do listen to the advice of your designer to try to achieve, especially if you've got a budget in mind, you know, because even though a designer can't give you clear direction on the budgets all the time, it, you know, because we don't do the calculations, working with a builder or a quantity surveyor can give you figures. And that's a progression as you go through your design. Keep a check on where the dollars are and to build. The best results we've had with these is working with builders directly. They've chosen a builder. You're not going to tender. You're not trying to get old prices. You're working with a builder that you trust, and he's part of the design team, part of putting the dollars together during this process. When you're making your selections on your carpet and all that, yeah, your tiles, your taps, they're there. And they're telling you, look, this isn't a wise idea because where your budget's heading. They are a good sounding board and a voice of reason. And working together, when we've done pretty involved extensions renovations, they are magnificent. It's the best. On the flip side, I've had it where it hasn't worked too well because they weren't invested in the project, the builder.
Oh, the builder. Yeah, oh.
As they should have been. So that leaves the homeowner feeling a little bit floating, not sure. So the builder has to be 100% committed, as the designer does, to make sure that we listen and see we achieve what you want, but also listen to reason where you say, no, you're going too far, or you're not going to meet your budget, or you're not going to meet your timeframes or expectations, you're not going to have it ready by Christmas.
That's the common one, isn't it?
Oh, there's certain dates people don't tell us about as well, you know, someone's moving back or whatever, but it's just having that open communication. So takeaways.
Yeah.
I think is having a realistic expectations for these is the big one. You know, having the right attitude to listening to all the experts. Are you willing to flatten a house to start again? Are you willing to change, you know, the feel of, you know, start again? Or do you stick with it because, no, I love this existing house. I want to extend. I want to keep it as is. You know, or keep the facade, whatever it may be. So then once you've made that decision, then you go for it. But there are restrictions with budgets, timing. Yeah, we've had some clients that were dead set on matching the windows in an extension. So they spent an absolute fortune on timber windows to match the existing.
Wow.
And it looked amazing. It looked great. But the cost involved was astronomical. I remember one window alone, it was like furniture. This hardwood timber window was like $11,000 for one window.
Holy moly.
Yeah, but it was beautiful. It was absolute craftsmanship, and she was happy with that.
And you've got to weigh up where your priorities are as well in that sort of case, obviously, and whether your budget can accommodate those things.
Oh, certainly, certainly. And make sure that you have money left over, contingency. You've got that. You got your budget, this is what it costs, and then you got another 10. I recommend 20%.
Extra.
Extra. For up your sleeve, for things that they can't see. Because when you renovate an extension, I've done it myself, open up the ceiling and they used old extension cords as part of the wiring. That was my very first house. What a surprise that was. I had to rewire half the house.
Oh, no.
It was a horror show. And then I found all the plumbing, all the pipes were stuffed. And we had that. And my budget was just shattered. Shattered for a kitchen dining renovation. And we found all these dodgy works. And stuff you can't see until you pull it apart.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a rude lesson when I was younger with my first house.
Far out.
And that's what you could expect on renos. That's why I say 20% on your total budget. You've got to have that up your sleeve because you are going to find stuff. On a new build, I say 10% unless it's actually fixed price. Yeah.
Which would be most likely under the ground if it was a new build, is that right?
Can be on the
ground.
Yeah, we don't know what's in the ground, yes. Mm-hmm. But when you've got an existing site and you flatten the house, you've got a generally good idea because you pulled it all out.
Yeah, that's true.
You pull out all the footings, don't leave it, pull it out, unless an engineer can come in and say, no, you can reuse it. But sometimes it doesn't fit in the location where you want to put your walls anyway.
True.
Yes, but it's always the surprise that you don't expect in a reno.
Yeah, there's always something I mean, I can tell you even from the small renovations that I've done on my place, when the cabinetry was put in for the kitchen, I think there was like 20 mil between one end to the other.
Oh, it wasn't square?
Yeah, the floor was not.
Oh, the floor was out.
Yeah, the floor was out.
Oh, the building we're in here, where our office is.
Yes.
It's out of square by 60 millimetres.
60 mil?
Yeah, it was unbelievable because if you look at all that, if you probably haven't noticed, but if you look at all the joinery, they're all the same length, but they all stick out at different
lengths. I'm going to have to look at that now. I'm going to notice all that.
But the builder told us that during the build, but what do you do?
Yeah, there's nothing much you can do unless you want to redo the whole wall.
Yeah, that wasn't in the budget. So you're compromised and you probably haven't even noticed.
No, I haven't.
Have you noticed the tiles that aren't straight downstairs because it's out of square?
No, I haven't.
See? Yeah.
There you go. I'm going to look now when I leave.
Of course you are. But this is it. And sometimes people don't notice. And if you're in the game, you notice. But if you're not immersed in this, most people won't notice certain things. And reno's hard. That's the point. Nothing's straight. Nothing's level. That's what you give. And sometimes that's the charm.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the charm of the build, you know. And when you do your new extension, everything's dead straight, and then you go to the old part and everything's far from straight. It's like a dog's hind leg.
Yeah.
But that's part of the character of old homes. And everyone, well, I do. I love old homes. But I wouldn't live in one again.
Yes. Yeah, I can understand, especially if you're used to that, you know, nice thermal efficiency and good windows.
I love that. Lots of light. I love light.
I do too.
You know, when we do new houses, that's what we want, lots and lots of light. And that's why I love changing. You know, I was saying before, I love doing extensions. It's also changing that, so you get this mass amounts of light and solar warmth into the house, and beautiful. And you can change the aspect and change the feel of the whole house massively.
100%. All right. Well, we might wrap it up there, guys. Thanks for listening to the Building Design Primetime Podcast.
Catch us later.
You're listening to the Building Design Primetime Podcast.